sure. Praise when I'm doubting.
Yes.
I'll praise when I'm numbered. Praise when surrounded.
Hey.
Cause praise is the waters my enemies drown.
Yes.
As long as I'm breathing, shout that brings Jericho down.
Hey,
as long as I'm breathing, I've got a reason to praise the Lord of my soul.
I'm gonna
praise the Lord of my soul.
I won't be quiet.
My God is alive.
I'm gonna praise him.
Praise the Lord.
Father, we give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. You are worthy of all praise, worship, and adoration. You alone art God. There is no one like you. You are our helper. You are our peace. You are all things to us. And today, Father, we step into your loving kindness, into your tender mercies. For you are God, a good, 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 good God. And Father, your tender mercies have been showered upon our lives. Not because we are deserving, but because, Father, you've made us deserving. Not because we are worthy in our own abilities, but because you've declared us worthy of your loving kindness and tender mercies. We come to you. We cry out to you in total surrender and say, Father, have your way. Have your own way, Lord, in our lives. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, before I get into the word tonight, I want to remind us once again about our engagement this evening at 12 midnight. Now, as I said earlier today, if I'm here by myself, the door will be closed at 12:45. So that is the latest you can come. But if I'm not here by myself, then 12:55 will be your latest time, because those that are taking care will have to be in here for 12 o'clock. So nobody is going to be missing their appointment with the Lord because of you coming late. So if you're going to straddle and try to get here at your own pace, we have the Zoom link. May we have that on again, please? We have the Zoom link. Log on. Amen. We'll prefer that you be here in person and participate. I don't know all that the Lord is going to do. So come prepared. Amen? Come prepared. Let's have a time together in the presence of the Lord. That was an instruction the Lord gave to me this morning. And we've never done this kind of a thing. But he instructed to do it today. And I try to function only by the leading. Is that the Lord says, what I see the Father doing, that's what I do. That's my way of doing stuff. God said, do it, I do it. Amen? If he says, continue to do it, I keep on doing it. And after doing it for a while, if he doesn't say, keep at it, I stop. So I'm not doing it. And if he says, why are you stopping? I continue. And if he says nothing, then that means, because you don't want to start traditions that are baseless. Amen? Everything has to be by the instruction of the Lord. So we have an instruction for a solemn assembly tonight. Amen? Hallelujah. All right, let's get to the word of the Lord. We started out this morning talking about, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercies endure forever. Now, what I want you to take note of in that passage is the statement, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. And in the middle part of it, it says, for the Lord is what? Good. and his mercies endure forever. God is good, his mercies endure forever. But the connecting point to all of those statements is the first part of it, which is, oh, give thanks. Give thanks. Amen? Praise ye the Lord. Give thanks. Give thanks unto the Lord. For he, the God that you're giving thanks to, is a good God, and his mercies endure forever. Now, we connected that, and let me say, the Lord brought me to conference while he's telling me about this message here. And I'm meditating on it. He says, and by the way, I want you to talk about 2 Chronicles. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray. So I said, okay, I'm going to do that. But as I went through the passage, the Lord says to me, he says, why don't you start reading it from the top? And as I came to verse 3 of 2 Chronicles, chapter 7 and verse 3, there was a statement again. Let me say something to you, if you don't know yet. I've not preached this sermon for 40-something years. I haven't. You say, but what do you do every Sunday? I bring the message of the Lord. Basically, God wants to say something to his people. I read my Bible. I study the Word of God. I do all of that. But the bottom line is, I want to hear what God wants to say. I want to be the one who's parroting what God is saying. Are you with me? So, every message, if you want to call it a sermon, you can call it a sermon all you want. It's not prepared by me. It is what the Lord is saying, what I'm hearing, that's what I'm saying. So, you know, in many places they call me Deep Waters. That's my nickname. Or the key man. So what does that mean? Is it you take us to places that we've never gone? Why? Because I'm not preaching a sermon. I'm bringing the word of the Lord. Amen? That's what's important. Amen? Because ultimately, that's what's going to change my life and change your life, being current, not reading the Winnipeg Free Press and then making a message from that. No, we talk about what God is saying even before it happens. Years before it happens. You know, I remember one time, it sounds like it was me, but it was the Lord. I came, I was in our Toronto church, I believe that's where it was, for the first time. I said, I'm a white man, and I dare anybody to tell me that I'm not white. And they're looking at me, what is he talking about? I said, this is coming. This is some decades ago. This is coming, I said to them. People are going to be claiming to be something that they are not. Are we there now? Well, we're there, exactly there. Because it was a message, not a sermon. And today I told you about the fact that today, what day did I say? Today, something is shifting.
And at midnight, we need to be here to determine the future that we're going to live, because there's going to be two streams now. Decades ago, I told you about the church, the real church and the fake church, and how the fake church is going to be fighting the real church. We come there now. We've been coming closer and closer. Now we're going to be in the heat of it. If you think that you're going to be a secret disciple, you're going to be lost. You are going to have to come out and stand boldly so that everybody who wants to persecute you as a Christian wins the case. For some people, they can't win the case. They can't prove that you're a Christian. There's nothing about you that says you're a Christian. You think it's just by your moral lifestyle? There are Muslims that live moral lifestyles, and there are Buddhists and Hindus that live, you know, that live chaste lives. But that's not what makes it. Because the Word of God says, if my people, if my am, who are called by my name, humble themselves. Why do they humble themselves? Because they're called by the name of God. They're called by his name. They're called by the name, Hashem. I have the name of God tattooed on my head. God speaks to the church of Philadelphia, and he tells them that he's going to write on them. In Revelation chapter 3, the church of Philadelphia is the, it starts talking about the church of Philadelphia in verse 7. And he says about this church, he says that he's given to them an open door that no man can shut. The first time the Lord proclaimed that word to us was in 2019, pre-COVID, when he was talking to us about saying no virus is allowed to multiply in our bodies. Remember that? And then COVID came. Are we together so far? I didn't know the name was going to be called COVID. But he just told us to repeat something. Just say, viruses of any kind are not allowed to multiply in our bodies. And we came into 2020, March, because the reason we had that was because we always started the year well before the normal Julian calendar year. We started it at Rosh Hashanah. We always had that. We bring forth the prophetic word for the new year. God started telling us about these shut doors. Shut doors are coming, but there's also going to be open doors. And he said, and you're going to start ministering to Hindus and Buddhists and Muslims. Do you guys remember this? Yeah. It was very specific, I didn't know. But guess what happened? When the virus hit, at the same time, in March, when they're shutting doors, the doors to the rest of the world was opening. That's when we started ministering to Pakistan. Same time, the doors were shut, doors were open. We were shutting us down here, services. How many of you remember those things? Well, we remember the word of the Lord. God said, shut doors, open doors. Doors that are open that no man can shut. We remember what the word of the Lord said. So we said, this is 1296 Main Street. Overflow Banquet Hall, that's 1300. We're going to have whatever amount they say we should have here. And we're going to have whatever amount they say we should have there. And anybody come here to tell us, oh, you have too many people, we say, 1296, 1300. Hallelujah. We're not going to break your laws. But you're not shutting us down. And I told you then, while that was still going on, I said, this is not it. There's another one coming. You remember that one? There's another one coming. We are stepping into all of that. And I talked to you about 2028. I talked to you about 2030. But I thank God the word of the Lord came to me. I was here. And he said to me, son, don't give up on 2030. I said, what do you mean? He said, don't give up on it. He said, you can still reclaim 2030. My people can still thrive. No matter what the agenda of the world is, I am still God. Hallelujah. And the Lord is saying to us today, if my people who are called by my name, and watch what the word of God says in verse 11. Actually, verse 10. He says, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. The word of my patience. And I talked to us about what the word patience is. Is the word hupomone, which means to abide under, to stay under. Hippo or hupo means under. Mone or mene means to stand. So patience is a capacity to stand under. When you stand under the covering of God, you are patient. You are trusting in him. He says, because you have kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation. Because you've kept my word, I will keep you from the hour of temptation. There's an hour of temptation. There are days of temptation. God says, I'm going to keep you from that. Why? I am not going to allow you to go through that temptation, that struggle. You're going to be like hot knife cutting through butter. Things may be falling apart all around you, but you're going to be just fine. Amen? The tension and the tearing and the warring on the inside is not going to happen because you've learned how to keep the word of God patiently. And you're riding all of this storm. Praise the Lord. Because the storm is coming. Yeah, it is coming. He says, it's going to come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. To try them that dwell upon the earth. The crisis that is coming is going to prove whether you are real or fake. Before COVID came, I told you over and over and over again, when you get squeezed, what's going to come out of you? How many of you remember that? And we got squeezed, and we found out what's happened with so many. There's so many who used to be in churches that are no longer there. I remember somebody coming to me, you know, not in person, over the phone. He said to me, they're shutting churches down. I said, and what? What does that mean? He says, are you still going to be having service? I said, absolutely. But that's not going to be legal. I said, on the basis of what? On the basis of what? Am I moving by the drumbeat of the enemy? Or the drumbeat of God? What are you dancing to? What trumpet are you listening to? Because Nebuchadnezzar had his musicians playing their trumpets. And when you hear all the banging, you bow down to that statue that I put up there. But there was a man. He said, you can't pray? He opens his window. talk about, hey, I'm guilty. He opens his window and he's praying. Anybody who prays to any other God, and the government is going to try to get you to worship it. You think your tax return is going to keep on? You watch what's going to happen. They're going to take it from you, and I will find out who's the real tither. Whether you give to get a receipt for a deduction, or whether you sold out giving unto God sacrificially. Oh, while they're giving you your receipt, use it. But don't give because of that. Hallelujah. Give because you are called by the name. If my people who are called by my name. Watch this. It says, behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast. Whatever it is that you've received, he said, hold on to it. So that no man takes away your crown. Him, the one that overcomes, who's able to hold on because they are keeping the word of patience. He says, that one, I'm going to make him a pillar in the temple of my God. I'm going to make you a pillar. What do pillars do? They hold up the structure. He says, I'm going to make you one of those that holds up the structure. God, you need God who created the whole earth, and there's not a pillar. Do you understand? He created the whole earth. He put Mars and Saturn and Jupiter and all the galaxy together, and there's not a pillar to be found. He holds everything in his hand. He says, I'm going to make you a pillar. In essence, I'm going to make you like me. I'm going to make you just like me. You know, years ago they used to say, you know, I just want to be just like Mike. Michael Jordan. Just want to be just like Mike. No, I want to be just like my papa. Hey, glory to God. I want to be like my father, my heavenly father, the creator. That's how it all started. God created all this stuff, and he says, son, Adam, come here. What's the name of that thing? Oh, that's an elephant. God says, that's right. That's the name I call it too. Elephant. God wants to bring us into a relationship or partnership. And that's exactly what he gave us one of those years. There was a year the word of the Lord was the word about us being partners with him. God has been steadily, one word after the other. It's like he's building one brick on the other, and he's building a structure. When the builder is building, you don't see the whole house. And it looks like nothing is really happening, but something is happening as he puts one thing after the other, one after the other. And all of a sudden, wow, look at that. That's beautiful. And that's what exactly God wants to do in your life and in my life. And somebody's thinking, what am I? I don't know how this is going to happen. You know, I just had a big fight with my wife. I just had a big fight with my friend. I don't know how God is going to do. Don't worry about it. God already knows about your mess up. But he is going to put an age to that mess up. And it's going to become a message. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God knows you. And God knows exactly what he wants to do. All you need to do is trust him. And stop griping. We all need to stop griping and complaining. A word says, oh, give thanks. Praise the Lord. And give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good and his mercies endure forever. It says, the one who makes it, I'm going to make you a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. What on earth is that? Do pillars move? Let me ask a question here. Do pillars move? They don't move. Okay. So if pillars don't move, then it means you will not go anywhere else. You shall go no more out. What God is trying to say to us is, listen, you're not going to go in and out to find pasture. The pasture is going to be right there, and you are going to be in a place of rest. He causes me to lie down in green pastures. While you are eating it, it is filling up. Do you remember the woman with the cruse of oil that did not fail? Well, that's what God is saying. That's exactly what happened to me and Mama years ago. We didn't have physical cash. Didn't have money, but we had to eat. And every Sunday, we used to invite people to our home. Sometimes 12, 15 people will come sit down and eat with us. And all that year, I got meat, fish, and chicken from the freezer downstairs, but never went to the store to go buy meat, fish, chicken. As I was taking it out, God was filling it up, and there was no freezer burn. if you've got stuff in there long enough, freezer burn will come, and your fish will start tasting funny. You understand what I'm talking about? Well, God is saying, you're going to stay here. You're not going to need to go out anywhere. Why? Provision. Right there. Hallelujah. We can live that kind of a life. Everything I'm talking about to you today, in one way or the other, God has brought me through. I can go back and reference Oh, that's what God was trying to do when my gas tank was running on empty. Ah, I didn't have to go to the gas pump. Well, if the time comes when you have to work and have a Mac on you, or you can't buy or sell, what do you need? You need you need a God who will fill your gas tank. Are you hearing me? I'm talking about what God will do. I'm not talking about what you can imagine. I'm not talking about how is that going to happen? How am I going to pay for it? Forget about that. Let God deal with what he needs to deal with. Just be the people that are called by his name. He says, and I will write upon him the name of my God. This morning, the worship team were so in sync. They started singing about this God. Everything they did this morning was focused on this, giving thanks and praise to God and the names of God. I could hear the names of God being pronounced in one of the songs that they were singing, Jehovah Sitkanu. God's names were being mentioned. I say, Lord God, something is happening in here. Something is happening in here. No coordination, but God was orchestrating whatever it is. And guess how God is going to put everything together in your life, in my life, in this is church. And we will be what God says we are by the authority of his wonderful name. Glory be to God. So I'm going to write the name of my God on you. On whom? The pillar. Are you a pillar in the house of God? There's so many people, they are Quakers, I think they're called. They're always moving. Well, the Spirit is leading me. Well, if you have his name, he stabilizes you. You don't hop from one place to the other. All over the place. You're all over the place. Come on. Be stable. God knows your address. You have an address. Stay there. Be steadfast. Be faithful there. No matter what challenges are in your way, just... And God says, you like that? I'm going to write the name of my Father on you. Praise the Lord. He says, I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God. You say, what is that city? He tells us it is the New Jerusalem. The New Jerusalem. In the book of Revelation, that New Jerusalem is also called the Bride of God. Hallelujah. So God says, you're a pillar, you're steadfast, unmovable, always abounding, knowing that your work in God is not in vain. You are in him, and he is in you. You are one with him. Hallelujah. He says, I'm going to write the name of my Father on you. I'm going to write the name of the city of my God on you, which is the New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And you just need to read and find out how immaculate and how amazing that New Jerusalem is. God is saying, hey, you pillar, you're not going to go anywhere. I tell you what, I'm going to write that name on you, and that is the name I'm going to call you, I'm going to call you the name of my God. I'm going to call you by the name of this new Jerusalem, which comes down from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. Praise the Lord. If my people who are called by my name. The word of God says in John chapter 20, beginning to read from verse 21. John 20, 21. It says, then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. This is when Jesus, our Lord, is risen from the dead. And he comes and he sees his disciples and he says, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. And then he says, whosoever sins ye remit. If you say, you're forgiven, he says, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. In other words, God was saying here, I'm giving you the ability to judicially ascribe redemption and deliverance and forgiveness to people, or say, you and your sin, stay. Well, that's incredible authority. The ability to remit people's sins says, you're forgiven. Why? Because the mercies of God endure forever. You extend mercy. So I'm giving you that authority. Just like the Father sent me, so I'm sending you. In essence, you go in my name. In John 14 and verse 13, he says, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Whatever it is that you ask in my name, in essence, I'm giving you the authority to use my name. Did you get that? I'm authorizing you. I'm giving you my name. Now, when a man gets married to his wife, in most cultures, the name of that husband is given to that wife. When Mama got married to me, she was an Atwijia. But when we got married, she took my name. And God is saying the same thing. He said, I'm going to give you my name. Just like the husband gives the wife his name, so also I'm going to give you my name. And when I give you my name, I give you my authority. You take on, when I give you my name, I'm going to take on all of your debt. And I'm going to transfer to you all of my wealth. Well, that's what salvation ultimately is. Is God taking on all my mess and giving to me all of his glory. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves, if my people called. You see, the word called is the word kora, and it means to proclaim. So, or to be commissioned. So God is saying, if my people who are commissioned by my name, proclaimed by my name. In fact, we say, I am a Christian. The word Christian comes from the word Christ, the anointed one. And when you say that you're a Christian, and the Bible says the word Christian was first used in Antioch. Remember that? Have you read that? I'm sure you've read it. That name, Christian, was first used in Antioch because they identified the believers in Antioch as followers of Christ. Before that, they were called the people of the way. But now they are called Christians. Why? Because Christians are supposed to represent God. In Acts 11:26, it says, and when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much of the people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Hallelujah. That's where they were first called, Christians. Well, that is part of how we are individuals that are called by his name. We're called by his name. Hallelujah. Are you called by his name? Are you a Christian? Well, it means something to be a Christian. Let's look at that passage again in Acts. It says, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church. And taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Now, I want you to think about that word for a moment, Antioch. What does Antioch mean? It means to be driven against. And the point is that we are not people that flow with the culture of the day and time. We are counterculture. We are counterculture. We don't flow with the rest of the world. We're going up current. We're going against whatever the world system is, because the world system is flowing with the devil. And Christians were first called Christians in Antioch, which means driven against. We're going against the system. If you think like the world and follow the systems of the world, the culture of the world, then you are not a person who's called after his name. If you're called after his name, you are going to be counterculture. That's why the word of God says you become a peculiar person. Unique. You're not a copycat. You're not poured into the mold of this world. But you're transformed by the renewing of your mind. People have problems. They're doing drugs, doing alcohol, womanizing. That's how they get settled. And that's how you go. You're not a Christian. Don't fool yourself. If you're a Christian, you know what the right thing is, and you stand for it. You stand for it. The Bible says you resist the devil. Is that what it says? And what will the devil do? He'll flee from you. You are busy running away. Face. You are a Christian. You're a child of the Most High God. You don't bow down to idols. You don't bow down to the system. You stand for something. You know who your God is. And you know that that God lives inside of you and that you are empowered to succeed. No matter what the devil thinks, you are the child of the Most High God. You resist. You called, you commissioned. It says, if you will humble yourself. The word is kona. It means to be subdued. To bend your knees. Not to the world, but to God. He says, you do that and pray. The word pray is the word palal, and it means to be one who intervenes, somebody who intercedes. Someone who comes and makes sense of what's going on. You don't join, intervene. You don't compromise who you are, you intervene. You don't think the way the world thinks, you think the way God thinks about the issue. Do you think God sees all the problems happening in the world? And if God sees it, can you see God sitting down in one corner and saying, oh my God, who is he going to call it? What am I going to do now? Is that what God does? No, he intervenes. At will. That's what we've got on the inside of us. That's what we got inside. We are not bending to the system of the world. We intervene. We intercede. We step in and we make judgment on what the right thing to do is. My cry out to God is that God will help us become that church again. The church that speaks out the heartbeat of God and says, this is what God says about this. Well, that's not our way of doing things. No, God created all of us. And this is what he says about this issue. The church will have one voice, the voice of God, represent God. But it's amazing, even church folks don't even know what the will of God is. We have a pope that is all over the place. Today is this, and today, tomorrow he's that. Where's the consistency? I have to know what true north is. So that if I'm lost, I can find my way back. Even the compass knows how to find north. Huh? If Every day you wake up, the sun rises in a different direction. And you're not sure which direction it's going to rise from. How do you know where east is and west is? Do you know that if I took you to the equator, okay, to the equator, let's go right straight to the equator. And this line is the equator. If you go right of the equator or left of the equator, the water on the right and on the left turn either clockwise or anti-clockwise. So if you flush in your toilet over on this side, it goes like this. If you're flushing it on this side, it goes like that. But when you're right dead center on the equator, it's straight. The water does not go this way or that way. Boom! That's how you know that you're on the equator. Are you with me? God wants you to be right there. Not today like this, tomorrow like that. If I'm preaching the truth of God, you can go 30, 40 years before today and find out that nothing that I said 40 years ago is different from what I'm saying today. Are you with me? Not all of this. Oh, I used to preach that. I want you to burn all my books and the CDs and the DVDs of everything I preach, because everything I preached before was wrong. What nonsense. What were you preaching before? Oh, I used to preach the law. Well, if you were preaching the word of God, you would have known to preach grace. God is good, and his mercy endureth forever. You would have known that the law was put in place not to fix us, but to show us that we need help. So the message doesn't change. The message doesn't now change. Oh, well, I used to preach that thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not lie, but now I'm preaching grace. You can steal all you want and lie all you want. Is that what the message is? Oh, when you used to do it over here, God will clobber you over with a sledgehammer. But over here, he'll bring a feather and say, Sonny boy, don't do that. Tickle your ears. That's not the message. But when we are called by his name, we will intercede. And then he says, and turn from their wicked ways. Turn from their wicked ways. Repent. That's what God is saying. Repent. He says, then will I hear from heaven. I'm going to hear you, as we said this morning, because of your sacrificial giving in the place that I have chosen, because this house, my temple, is my chosen place for sacrifices. Is that what we read this morning? The house of God is a place of sacrifice. And if you're part of the body of Christ, then you have to understand that God has called you to sacrifice. Don't complain. It's so easy to complain. How come I'm doing all of this? How come nobody else is doing it? Don't complain about it. Just do your thing. Let God deal with others. You are not going to be rewarded because of their actions. You're going to be rewarded because of your actions. We live in a world, as I wrap for now, we live in a world that says, basically, there are no failing grades. Everybody passes. That's fake grace. The net result of that is everybody fails. Because if we're in a class, and some students are busy studying and doing everything that they need to do, and the teacher says, nobody's going to fail. And the guys that studied really hard, burnt the midnight oil, studying, cramming, memorizing, trying to understand the stuff, come to the exam hall, and they're writing their exam, and the bunch of other kids that are won't spend the time studying, doing anything that is worthy of receiving good grades. And you bring everybody together and you say, well, everybody got a B. Nobody got an A. The guys who were studying hard, you say, I studied all this stuff to end up with a B. What do you mean I got a B? Next time, guess what's going to happen? Those A students that got a B are going to study less, and the ones that fooled around will fool around even more. And then we'll all end up with D's. And before you know it, we all have F's. And if you can get an F minus, all the smart kids end up messed up. That's what's happening to our society. And you know what? There are other societies that are busy doing the work. When COVID was happening, we were busy shutting down our schools. And all the countries, some of them, stayed on track. Now we are behind, trying to catch up. In our Christian walk, our target is not the lowest common denominator. Our calling is, God says, I am holy, be holy like me. Be like your papa, represent me. If you call by my name, you got to turn from your wicked ways. Turn from your wicked ways. Stop sugarcoating everything. Well, that's not that bad. That's not how we live. That's not that bad. Tomorrow will become the standard. And then that's not that bad. And then the next day, it becomes the standard. And that's not that bad. That's how the church is packed up right now with people that are married 2, 3 times, 4 times. And it's not like they were married 2, 3 times and then became Christians. No, they married 2, 3 times, 4 times, 5 times. Worse than Tommy Wynette. They're in church, eyeing other people's wives and husbands. And if they cannot stay in that church, they skip to another church. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And it's okay. Oh, you've got money? We'll make you an elder in the church. Really? That's how we are now? Now it's okay to be gay. There are fairies flying in the altar. Not angels of God, fairies. And there are people who are going to be very upset with me talking about fairies. The government doesn't want, we're going to sue you. Say, sue what? What prison are you going to put me in? Help yourself. In this day and age, no, nothing is stopping the gospel. God has not called me to fear. If Daniel can open his window and pray, why am I hiding in the closet? When the people that used to be in the closet are coming out of the closet, I'm going inside the closet? That's funny. No, you go back to your closet. Because I'm not going into any closet. I'm going to declare the word of God. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves, seek my face, pray, intervene. They seek his face and are being changed into the same glory. Is that what the word of God says? I'm not going to look at him and be changed into that same glory and forget who I am when I walk away. God's word says, you're not going to have to walk away. You're going to be a pillar. You're going to be a pillar in my house. Blessed. Yes, once upon a time you were blessed going out and coming in. But I'm going to bring you to a place of rest. And I'm going to write my name on you. I'm going to write the name of my Father on you. I'm going to write the name of the New Jerusalem on you. That's who you are. That's who you are. That's who you are. Just like your Papa. That's it. Rise with me. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the privilege of being called sons, your daughters. Let your eyes be open to this place of sacrifice. Help us, O God, not to be weak, but may we always be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We receive that declaration of our lives. We are strong in you and the power of your might. By the power of your might, we establish new corridors of hope, new corridors, O God, of prosperity, new corridors, O God, of peace, new corridors of integrity, corridors, O God, of surrender to your perfect will. Father, we seek you, and we say, Lord, do in us and with us great and extraordinary things now, that our lives, O God, may testify of your goodness in the land of the living. We shut down every other voice, every contrary voice, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. We, O God, expel and declare extinct every voice that contradicts your will. We are your people who are called by your name. And we're taking our position and we're declaring that this world is your world. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. It's all yours. And every knee must bow, and every tongue must confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, that it is so. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's a joy sharing this time with you this evening. We will be back for 12 tonight. We are going to cross over from the first half of this year into the second half. But we are going to be, by the leading of the Spirit, declaring and tweaking things downstream. Hallelujah. Praise God. We're going to be turning things around so that the devil doesn't have the final word concerning anything that concerns us. Not now, not ever. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. So, thank God for those that logged in at this time for the service this evening. We celebrate them. We will say goodbye to those on Facebook and YouTube, but honor God with your giving. The information for your giving is on the screen. Do take advantage of that. Seed into the kingdom of God. The word of the Lord is in this house, and this is a place sanctified by God, chosen by the Father as a house of sacrifice. May you receive the full impact of that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of giving. Lord, honor our giving by speaking into it. You said you'll cause our seed sown to be multiplied. Let our seed be multiplied greatly. In the mighty name of Jesus, may we experience supernatural provision. May we receive supernatural speed to see your will done and affirmed in this day and time. In Jesus, our sovereign Lord's name, we call it so done. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, for those that are online on Zoom,